The Madison Metropolitan School District is facing a lawsuit over its transgender policy. The part of the policy in question deals with students who identify themselves with a name and/or gender that's different than their sex at birth and legal name. Under the policy, educators are not required to alert parents of students making these changes at school and can opt to continue referring to the students by their legal name and birth sex when communicating directly with the parents. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WILL, has pushed back against the policy, arguing it violates parents' constitutional rights. The group recently filed a lawsuit against the district on behalf of a group of more than a dozen individual parents from MMSD families. We're going to hear from guests on both sides of this story today, starting with Luke Berg, deputy counsel for WILL. Luke, thanks a lot for coming to the studio today.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, make out the basics for us here, the ways you believe the policy violates parents' constitutional rights.
Well, parents have a right to be involved in major decisions that affect their children. And gender dysphoria can be a very serious psychological issue. And transitioning in particular is a major life-changing decision. This is exactly the type of thing that parents should be involved in.
I want to read from a statement from the school district here regarding the suit. It's a bit lengthy, but MMSD, I'm quoting, prioritizes working in collaboration with families to support our students, and it's always our preferred method of support. MMSD must also prioritize the safety and well-being of every individual student who walks through its doors each day. It is with this focus the district stands by its guidance document on transgender and non-binary students and recognizes its tremendous responsibility to uphold the right of every child to be educated in a safe, all-inclusive, and non-discriminatory learning environment. So that statement from the school district, what's your response to that?
I think the best way to protect kids and to care for kids is to involve their parents when significant issues come up. I mean, the school does this regularly with everything. The district requires parental consent for athletics, prom, taking medication at school, field trips, most classes, everything. And yet the district has carved out this one issue, which is significant and controversial, and decided that parents don't need to be involved. And in fact, the district will help hide this from the parents. I think it's pretty clear that this violates parents' rights.
A concern that people raise is safety of kids. They point out that transgender youth are disproportionately represented among homeless youth. There are concerns that those students might not feel safe in their home revealing this information. What would you say to those concerns?
I think children might be afraid of how their parents will respond or react, but the vast majority of parents are going to respond in love and do everything they can to do what's best for their child. Now, some parents may ultimately say, no, we don't think it's best for you to transition, but that's not going to do harm necessarily. And the school district can't presume from the get-go that parents are going to do harm to their children. Courts have been very clear that government can't make that assumption, and in fact, it has to make the opposite assumption. It has to assume that parents will do what's best for their kids. And yet this policy presumes the opposite.
Talking to Luke Berg, deputy counsel for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. The organization is representing parents of students in the Madison School District, challenging the district's policy on transgender students. Luke, what remedy are you looking for in this lawsuit from the district?
So we're asking the court to order that the district require parental notice and consent before students can transition at school. Parents need to be involved. One of the reasons they need to be involved is because gender dysphoria is frequently associated with other psychological comorbidities, depression, suicide, and the like. So at the very least, parents need to be involved to have their child professionally evaluated and to provide any mental health support that their child might need.
Now, you're representing a group of anonymous parents. Can you share some of the current concerns you've heard from them, apart maybe just from the direct constitutional issues you're raising?
Well, the parents want to be involved in their children's lives, as I imagine all parents do. And, you know, they don't know whether their children will deal with this issue or not. But if their children ever do deal with this issue, they don't want the district to hide it from them. They want to be involved, and they want to work through this with their kids, with the district, and do what is best for their child. And that may or may not involve transitioning.
This is a case in Madison now. Is this something you're seeing? Are you seeing similar policies elsewhere in the state, or are you hearing from parents in other districts raising these concerns?
Yeah, this is actually happening across the country. It's a relatively new phenomenon, but there's been some groups who have been pushing policies like this on school districts, and I think parents are just starting to become aware that this is happening. Ours is the first case that I'm aware of to challenge it, but I doubt it will be the only one.
Now, the case could be looked at as a question of whose protected rights outweigh the other, the students or the parents. There was a 2017 decision by a panel of judges for the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit in favor of Wisconsin transgender students' bathroom preference. Some people have read this case, and not everybody has, as implying a federal protection for transgender students from discrimination. Does this weigh into this case that you're bringing here?
So my understanding is that case involved a situation where the parents and the student were on the same page about something. You know, the default rule as a legal matter is that most rights begin when you turn 18, and prior to that, parents have substantial authority. Now, as a practical matter, good parenting is the process of slowly releasing control and allowing children to make decisions on their own, obviously with parental input and guidance. And I imagine parents will differ in when they would allow their children to make this decision on their own. And the answer may depend on the child and the circumstances as well. It should. But the important point is that's a decision for parents to make. That's not a decision for the school district to preempt and make on its own. It's also worth pointing out that the district's policy has no age limit whatsoever. So for any listeners who think that, you know, students should have a right to make this decision on their own at some age, surely an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old doesn't have a right to make this decision totally independently. We don't give children rights to make significant decisions like this without parental involvement for any other decision of this magnitude.
What is the timeline in this suit now?
So we've filed a motion for a temporary injunction, which is a request to a court to order the district to halt the policy. We're in the process of talking with the district's counsel to come up with a schedule. That hasn't been set yet, but I imagine this will be briefed and heard in the next couple months, and then the court will rule.
Is this, you're saying you're seeing this elsewhere in the state and the country, is this going to be the first, do you think, of many cases bringing a suit against schools over these kind of policies?
To the extent there are schools around the country doing this, I hope so. This is not the type of thing that schools should do. As far as in the state, I'm aware that Kenosha recently has been developing a transgender policy and had a debate about this issue. And Kenosha ultimately decided to require parental consent before students can make the life-changing decision to transition at school. I think that's the right approach. And we asked Madison to change its policy to that. It chose not to. And so now we're in a lawsuit.
And to clarify, before we wrap up, it's the parental consent that is the key, if I'm hearing you right. With parental consent, you have no objection to the rest of the policy when it comes to teachers using, say, preferred pronouns, for example.
That's exactly right. And a lot of parents would be fully on board with their children transitioning and might support that. But even those parents, I think, would want to be involved. They would want the district to notify them so that they can be a part of the plan, be a part of the conversation.
Luke, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
That's Luke Berg, deputy counsel for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. We talked to him today about the lawsuit that the group filed against Madison School District on behalf of parents over the school district's transgender policy. For another take on the issue, we're joined by Brian Jay, co-director of the group GSAFE, which advocates for LGBTQ plus youth in schools. Brian, thanks for coming up to the studio.
Thank you, Rob. It's nice to be here.
Where do you see problems with this lawsuit?
Well, actually, first I just want to acknowledge that I know that there's a lot of transgender friends, family, colleagues, students listening right now. And even though previous guests, you know, stated things, you know, in a nice and polite way, I also want to recognize and acknowledge that that probably felt really rough for them and felt harmful to them and contributed to the sense of fear that I know that they've been feeling since this lawsuit has been introduced. And it also fits into a larger efforts to attack transgender individuals. So I just want to recognize that I know that people are listening and that was probably a hard thing for them to hear just now.
So with the lawsuit in particular?
So, and your question is?
Where do you see problems? Where do you challenge the premise here?
Sure. Well, I mean, first of all, you know, the conversation is about a transgender policy, and really it's not a policy, it's just guidance that the district's put together based on policy. But I think when people use the term transgender policy, I think, one, that's not an accurate way to talk about it. Second of all, I think, you know, the premise that schools need to out students before students are ready to be out to their families, I think that creates a whole lot of challenges and problems for young people in schools. You know, it's very natural, like when we think about the way that people come out, usually they're coming out to friends first, and that they're coming out to a trusted adult, usually a teacher at school second, and then they build the confidence to share that with their families. So when I hear Will and other folks talking about this lawsuit, I think they're imagining that schools are actively hiding or keeping information from families. And I think what I've known in the work that I've done with the Madison School District, as well as with other school districts around the state, is that, of course, schools want to be in conversation with families. And 95% of the time, families are involved in these conversations. So I think the perception out there is very different from what the reality is.
But the concern is that in that 5% of cases, there might be parents not aware of this big thing going on in their kids' lives and not wanting them to make these really critical decisions without them on board.
Right. And of course, schools want parents to be involved in this, those conversations. You know, when a student comes out to a staff member, that conversation starts the process of figuring out, how can we support you? How can we help you in sharing this information with your family? So it's not hiding it from the family, but really helping the student figure out, how are they going to have those conversations with their parents with the support of schools, not necessarily schools saying pro or con, but just really schools doing what they do really well, which is supporting the safety and supporting young people as they navigate some of these really challenging things in their lives.
Another point of clarification, we have a caller wondering, when we're using the word transition in school, we're not talking about any kind of medical transition here.
Right. So absolutely. And thank you, caller, for pointing that out. Right. We're talking about social transitions. We're talking about using the name and pronoun that people use and or want to be called, which is something that schools do all the time. Right. So, you know, if we're thinking about cisgender students, in other words, students who aren't transgender, schools have long been in the habit of using the preferred names and pronouns that they use. So my dad had a different name at school than was what was on his birth certificate. So I think schools are already doing that. So schools aren't doing any medical intervention. They're not, you know, acting as doctor. Really, all they're doing is saying, hey, this is what you want to be called at school. Great. That's what we do. And we're going to do it. And we're going to support you in that.
Now, we talked to my previous guest, and I talked about safety concerns. Is that part of the story here that that has you worried if this lawsuit is successful?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we know is that most of the time when students come out to their families, it, you know, even though sometimes it can be rocky at the start, generally families come around and are supportive. But what we know is that sometimes, you know, not every family is supportive. And we know that students do get thrown out and they do get kicked out. They do get abused by their families. And then also, I think the thing that we might forget about is that threat of being outed to your family can be really traumatic for a young person. And we know that there's been cases in this country where government officials, schools have threatened to out or have outed students to their families without the permission of the students. And that has resulted in students committing suicide or inflicting some significant self-harm upon themselves.
Another concern raised in the lawsuit is that okay, if we have the student in what's sometimes called gender dysphoria is the phrase they use in the lawsuit, some families for religious reasons or other reasons might not agree that changing pronouns and other things like that is the right course of action. And the concern again raised in the lawsuit is they're left out of making that decision with their kid.
Well, parents don't have the right to trump the way that schools do things based on religious viewpoints, first of all. So, I mean, I think that's important to recognize or to apply their religious viewpoint upon all families. These are public schools that we're talking about. And I think You know, the other thing that I think about is, you know, oftentimes, sometimes there's things that families do that they think are protecting their young person, such as, you know, not letting them be the gender identity that they are, or not using the names and pronouns that the student uses, that they think is, when they take those actions, they think that they're being protective of their student, oftentimes acting from genuine concern for the child. But what we know from research and from data out there, that those behaviors and actions that they see as protective are actually quite harmful to young people, to the health and well-being of young people.
Talking to Brian Jay, co-director of the group G-Safe, about a lawsuit from the group Will challenging the Madison Metropolitan School District for its guidelines on transgender students. Will is representing a group of parents raising concerns about this. As you pointed out, Brian, this is guidelines. This is not policy. Do you see school districts doing enough to clarify where they are on this issue in general?
Yeah, well, one of the reasons that I think schools have been developing this guidance is that, one, there's not a consistent practice across schools. So we know that, you know, the practice that the Madison School District or the procedures that the Madison School District adopted are based on the best practices that school districts across the country have used. So this isn't something that they created out of thin air. This is something that really is following best practice and that's been recommended by different professional education organizations.
What do you think of the response so far from the Madison School District to the lawsuit and the statements they've made?
Yeah, well, I know that the Madison School District has been very firm in the fact that they are standing behind their transgender students and that they're standing firm with their guidance. And I think that's the right action. I think our students are scared. I know that our families are scared. And, you know, first and foremost, really, the school has that responsibility to create that sense of safety for students and look out for the safety of students. So I think they're on the right course.
Right. So parents and students have talked to you and your group about their concerns about this lawsuit?
Yeah, absolutely. So this definitely contributes to a climate of fear for young people and concern for young both the young people as well as for the adults. And I think it also is asking, you know, ultimately, you know, what Will is asking is for educators to intentionally do harm to young people. And again, most of the time, you know, families and schools are in communication. But in those rare cases where families aren't at that place where they can be supportive, I think forcing a decision or denying students the right to guide their own process of coming out really can do substantial harm.
As you look at this in Madison, do you, as we talked to our previous guest, he said this will probably come up in other districts. Are you concerned that we'll see similar lawsuits elsewhere in the state?
You know, it's always a possibility. I know that there's efforts to curtail or prevent schools from supporting transgender students, and it ties into larger efforts to undermine the rights of transgender people, both in our state as well as our country. So I know that, you know, it's an election year, and this is often a very popular topic to bring up to create, you know, the divisiveness. So I am concerned that it's going to come up, and I'm hoping that this particular lawsuit, you know, is addressed and it's found to not have merit to, you know, make sure that other lawsuits don't pop up.
What would you say to one of the anonymous parents behind this lawsuit, if they were listening, what would you say to them to try to address some of their fears here?
Yeah, well, you know, and again, as I mentioned earlier, I do think that oftentimes, you know, parents really want to protect their children. And we know that, you know, ultimately the role of adolescents is to, you know, become their own person. And so I think if we're a parent that's concerned about, you know, our child, I think we need to be having really good, clear conversations with our child and being really transparent with them about, you know, I love you and I support you no matter who you are, which I think opens doors for those honest conversations with students. And again, I think I would also recommend to families to recognize that some of those like gut instincts to protect your child, again, either not, you know, using their name or pronoun or wanting to somehow make them not transgender, that might feel really loving and protective. But ultimately, we know that that has a significant harm on your young person and ultimately isn't going to change who they are.
We'll leave it there and watch and see how this develops. Brian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Brian Jay, co-director of GSAFE. He joined us for a look at a lawsuit that challenges transgender guidance provided by Madison's school district. Earlier, we heard from Luke Berg, deputy counsel from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, which brought the lawsuit on behalf of a group of MMSD parents. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, what does the American economy look like for people at the high school education level? An expert on jobs and the economy joins the show, and you can share your experiences in the workplace. A weed killer went from a popular product to a health hazard in the subject of lawsuits. We'll talk to the author of the book Whitewash, The Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer, and the Corruption of Science. Plus, it's this week's edition of Food Friday. We'll look at great places to get our recipes in books, online, and beyond. And we want to hear from you. You can share your favorites and find some new ones as well. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.